you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, May 25th, 2026. Welcome to today's Monday edition of Mark and Friends, as Pastor Jason Epperson continues in Mark chapter 5, reminding us that Jesus is who he says he is. Creator, Savior, Truth, Alpha, and Omega. And because of that, we are who he says we are, children of God. Today we'll look at voices, identity, faith, and what happens when Jesus meets broken people. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church.
In this passage today, it might be my favorite historical moment of Jesus' life outside of the death, burial, and resurrection, which you're going to have to choose that one, right? But I'm telling you, this moment teaches us the heart of our Creator and the heart of God and the heart of a Father, I think, as much as any other moment. And there's a statement I want to make to you today, and it matters for graduates as much as it matters for someone who graduated 50 years ago or never graduated. And this is the statement I want you to hear is, he is who he says he is. He is who he says he is. And I am who he says I am. He is who he says he is. He is creator. He is sustainer. He is Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. Like, he is Savior. He is Spirit. He is truth. He is who he says he is. And I am who he says I am. I am a child of God. That is my base definition. And anytime I forget that simple truth, I stop listening to his voice. Because his voice always tells me he is who he says he is. And his voice always reminds me of I am who he says I am. Today in this passage, we're going to see this. Let's give a little historical background. What's just happened is Jesus has just left a group of Jewish people on a shore, right? He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing. There's thousands of people around him. He recognizes it. So all the voices in this room, it's like in this room, there's about 1,000 people in this room. All the voices in this room pretend Jesus is on the stage and every single one of you are listening to the words of Jesus. And then Jesus looks at you and every single one of you are there because you want to hear from him, but also you kind of want something from him. Let's just be honest. All of us in this room have something in our world right now that we would love for God to take care of. Just nod your heads. Me too. Okay? And so, but Jesus in this moment hears all these voices, the thousands of voices in front of him, but then he hears a voice on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a voice that doesn't make a lot of sense, a voice that everyone has cast away, a voice that no one wants to pay attention to, and he gets his buddies in the boat and he says, we're going to the other side. So Jesus walks away from the voice of the crowd that will fund his life. Did you catch that part I said right there? His funding source, his greatest encouragers, his army. And he walks away from them, actually rows away from them. And he gets in his boat. As he gets in the boat, the next part of the story we talked about a couple weeks ago, what happens is there's a storm. Literally, Satan throws a storm at him. Why does Satan not want him to get to the other side? Because Satan doesn't want a group of people like us to recognize that God cares for all the people, not just the ones that already know him. It's a big deal. Jesus calms the storm. He goes the other side. As soon as he gets out of the water, what happens? That's right. This big, strong dude that doesn't feel any pain, that's naked, comes running at him. Guess who you don't ever want to get in a fight with? Big, strong dude that feels no pain, naked. It's like the trifecta of I don't want none of it. Right? I'm just new. No. I'm out. Jesus comes up. He heals the demoniac in that moment. As he heals the demoniac in that moment, the demons go into the pigs, they destroy, because Satan is on this earth to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't mess it up. Like, don't think that the voice that is causing you towards selfishness, the voice that tells you to do whatever makes you happy, that voice wants you to be happy. That voice wants to destroy you. That voice wants to destroy your family, destroy the people around you. Like, don't mess. Why did he allow these pigs to die? For us to recognize as the voices in this world that are not the true voice of Jesus, guess what? They lead to destruction, they lead to decay, and they lead to pain. So they go off the cliff, then Jesus gets back in the boat. He wants to come with them. Jesus says, no, you can't come. He says, you need to stay here. And he says, tell every single person you know what happened. Jesus then leaves, he comes across the water, and then we find him here. Imagine, so he left us all. You with me? Nod your heads. He left us all, he went away for a little bit, he's coming back. Do we still have the same problems that we had last Sunday that we need fixed? Just nod your heads. In this moment, there's this cat named Jairus. And he is the leader of like the synagogue. He's like the lead pastor of the synagogue of this area. And his daughter is dying. And most people believe, and I believe, that Jairus would have been in this crowd wanting to talk to Jesus because he'd tried all the doctors, he'd tried all the things, he'd tried all the prayers. He's there waiting on Jesus. And imagine all of us who need something from Jesus. On the inside, we're a little frustrated because guess what? Like, we've been doing this our whole lives. Why are you going to the other side dealing with the naked dude that's crazy? Jesus, there's 1,000 of us in this room. Why are you spending your time with the guy across the street that's begging for money, that doesn't speak intelligibly, that has a sign that's the same sign he's had for 10 years about how he got stranded? Jesus, why are you spending so much time with that one college student that all they do is trash you, all they do is talk ill of you? They don't have no stars by their name in Sunday school. Jesus, why are you spending time with that politician that just makes me angry every time I see their face? Just want to bring it home to us. You with me? So we're on the shore and Jesus floats up. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him and he was beside the sea. They came, one of the rulers of the synagogues, the leaders of the church. Don't miss this. His name is Jairus by name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter's at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her so that she may be well." If any of us in this room, lots of us have had sick kids in this room. Some of you have had sick kids to the point of death or disease or pain. And what would you do to bring healing to someone you love? You with me? Whatever. You drive anywhere. You meet with any doctors. You meet, like, you do everything you can to heal the people you love. You can nod your heads with that one too. You can even say, "Amen, Jason, I would do that." I would take my kid. Literally, we stand in lines at Disney World for hours to get a princess signature. Like, you will do anything. And so when he sees Jesus come up, I just want to make this very clear. He'd been to the doctors. He'd had the prayer gatherings. He was at his end. I want to ask you a question. Actually, I'm going to make a statement and ask a question. Sometimes I think people that are the most capable, at times we go through all of our capabilities before we actually put our trust in the one who made us capable. And Jairus is a capable dude. He knew the prayers. He'd memorized the scriptures. He knew the doctors. He had literally prayed with their kids when they were sick. Like, he knew everybody. He had all the connections. And yet, what leads you to fall on your face before the Lord to say, "You're all I got"? When that should be the first thing we do, because the truth is, he's all we what? He's it. I don't know about you, but that question has bounced around in my brain all week. Is, do I allow the capabilities God's given me, the gifts that he's given me, to stand in the way of the dependence I need to have on him? That doesn't mean he hasn't given you all gifts. This is like, y'all, this is a gifted room of people. Praise God for that. Like, praise God for the gifts, the abilities, the talents, the resources, the time, the energy. All you graduates, y'all, you got blue. You're looking good now. Like you graduated. But all those gifts are gifts from God. And if you ever think that the voice in your head is telling you, "Look what you did, people need to respect you," that ain't the voice of God. That's the voice of the enemy. That's the brother who's naked, who doesn't feel pain, running at you. Because pride and envy and malice and greed, that ain't him. That ain't his voice, y'all. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I'm going to open myself up and like speak it from my sin for a second. If I was Jairus and I saw Jesus floating away on a boat when Abe or Bo or Kate or Zeke are in that position, there is part of my sinfulness that'd be like, "Hey, yo, Jesus, I've been talking about you. I've dedicated my life to you. Did you hear it? That's my sin. Can you just like hold on 1 second and heal my daughter?" But then Jesus comes back and Jairus is patient. I admire the dude for his patience. And Jesus comes on the shore and he falls on his face on the shore and he cries out to Jesus. And then this is what happens. Jesus says, and he went with him. Like, what emotion do we have when Jesus is going with us? Are you with me? Like, you've seen him do it. You've seen him heal a leper. You've seen him heal a paralytic. Like, you've seen him do it. And Jesus is going with you. And you and Jesus are like, "We rolling. Let's go, Jesus. Come on. We're like a couple miles away. Let's walk." And as this happens, it says, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. What that means is there was so many people around him, Jesus couldn't move. Okay, this Papa Bear, you get in Jesus's way, or you get in my way. When my kid, like, I've seen y'all at softball games. I've seen y'all at volleyball. Like, I know your kids never fouled anybody in basketball. Like I've watched y'all. Imagine child deathbed, dying, Jesus with you, and everyone is surrounding Jesus because everyone feels like their need, their thing is more important than everyone else's need because that's who we are. And so Jesus is walking calmly. He's not running, just like Zoe talked about. Jesus is walking calmly. And as he's walking calmly, like, don't you think the voice in Jesus' head would have, like, I got to listen to Jairus. Like, and all the different voices around, but Jesus didn't listen to all the other voices. Jesus listened to one voice. That was the voice of his Father. In the process of this happening, and Jairus is there walking with him, and there was a woman. I can't imagine the intensity that I would be walking in as Jairus. You with me? These are real moments in history. Feel them for me. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. This woman had been constantly bleeding for 12 years, who'd suffered much under many physicians, who had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather she grew worse. Now, in this time in history, if this woman was constantly bleeding, she was constantly unclean. That means if anyone touched her, they were unclean for a full 24 hours of time. So she couldn't be touched. She couldn't be around. She had to be outside the city. Like, it was an awful, awful time. So 12 years of her life, she's trying to be made clean. 12 years of her life, she's trying to stop the bleeding. She is literally, when you say the word outcast, she is the definition of an outcast. She couldn't have had a relationship. She couldn't have been with her kids. She couldn't have been with a husband. She couldn't have been with a family. Like, she was outside the city. Anyone that came near her, she would say, hey, I am unclean. Don't get close to me. This is the desperation, and this is where this woman is at. But she is out there. And most of the people would have believed is, what did she do to deserve it? That's what they would have thought. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garment, I'll be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. How do you think she got there? Hundreds, if not thousands of people surrounding Jesus. This woman standing there chanting his name. Jesus, I need help. Jesus, I need help. What are the crowd around her saying to her? What are they saying? Get away from me. You're unclean. The rabbi can't be around you. You're unclean. Get away from the rabbi. You're unclean. You're unclean. And she's thinking, well, the only thing that makes me clean is him. What does the voice of the enemy tell us? What does the voice of Satan, let's just say it. What does the voice of the enemy tell you? You're too unclean to be around him. He doesn't want anything to do with you. You can't walk in this room. You can't be a part of this church family. Like, if they knew what you had done, they would never let you on this stage. I picture her crawling in the dirt, avoiding eye contact. That's what I picture. Just crawling, like looking at his sandals and just crawling, scraping her hands, her knees. And then all of a sudden she reaches out and she touches his tassel. And as soon as she touches his tassel, she's healed. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power had gone out of him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? So Jesus is walking, the crowd's around him, Jairus is in front of him. Don't forget Papa Bear now. What's Papa Bear doing? He's a lead blocker now. And then all of a sudden, what does Jesus do? He stops. And in Jairus, what's my brain? Maybe I'm the only sinful dude in the room, but I'm thinking, Jesus, you got to pick up the pace. My watch says it's going to take us 23 minutes to walk a mile. We need to do like a 15-minute mile right now. And Jesus says, who touched me? Who touched my garments? And the disciples said to him, Peter says in Luke, Jesus, everyone's touching you. It's like a junior high dance here. Like, everyone's all over you. I use the junior high dance at least 6 times a year. I really do. It gets a laugh every time. Because we've all been in a junior high dance thinking, that brother should brush his teeth. Or put on deodorant, or there's a list of things that junior hires should do. Junior hires, we love you. We're so glad you're here. Deodorant, toothbrush, it's good. Anyway, and he looked around to see what he had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, so he says, who touched me? His disciples are like, bro, the leader of the church's daughter's dying. Let's go, Jesus. Everyone's touching you. Like, that's the situation. Don't miss the situation. Jesus says, no, someone touched me. And in this moment, what is this woman doing who no one has looked at, no one has touched, no one has been around? She literally is sitting there in awe. She is thinking about all the things that she had tried to do to find healing and never found healing. All the words that people had said, all the shame, all the trauma, all the things. and she's laying on the dirt, and she's praising God because she's healed, but she's like, please don't look at me, right? And then all of a sudden, she looks up, and she hears him say, who touched me? And she's like, oh, no. But she was truthful enough to stand up on her feet, walk towards Jesus, and fall down again. And then Jesus looks at her, and this is what he says. Daughter? He doesn't say woman. He doesn't say girl. He doesn't call her by her name. Like, sometimes with my daughter, I got three boys, I got one girl. And sometimes with my daughter, what I say is, hey, sweet girl. And that's what I picture Jesus doing here. He sees this woman that has been unclean by the world standards for 12 years. And she is on her face and she's covered in dirt. And he picks her up. He grabs her hands. She gets to her knees. He takes his thumbs. Are you with me now? Can you see this? He wipes away her tears. He takes the hair. He puts it behind her ears. And he says, hey, sweet girl. Hey, sweet girl. I see you and your faith in me has made you well. So go in peace, not in uncleanliness. You are now clean and be healed of your disease. Family, so many of us in this room are in a crowd desiring something from Jesus, but we don't think we belong in his presence. And guess what? We don't. But he desires more than anything in the world to wipe away our tears, to heal us of our brokenness, and to allow us to walk away clean. It reminds me of a story of someone who took their kid to Disney. And they took their kid to Disney, and they had a little daughter, and they were going around, and all day long there was this one moment that you took like vouchers and you could go in line and you had to show your vouchers to get into Cinderella's castle. I've heard it's a big deal. They're going to Cinderella's castle. And so they're walking into Cinderella's castle, and all these girls, you can tell, like if you go to Disney, you can tell the economic base of a family based on the type of Cinderella dress she's got on. And you walk in, and these girls are all standing in line, and the boys are standing in line, and everyone's there, and the moms are there, the dads are there, and they're standing in line, and there's this ballroom around, there's this stairway coming down, and there's going to be a moment when the trumpet blasts, and Cinderella walks down, and Cinderella will choose one person that she'll greet first, and then she'll go through the line and take pictures, and she'll smile, and you'll get a picture with Cinderella, and she'll sign your autograph book that costs you $40 for a piece of paper. I'm not bitter, I'm just sharing a story. And so then the next thing you know, they're all standing in line side by side. It's very orderly. There's princess music in the background. And the girls are standing like princesses. And then all of a sudden, this one girl comes in and she ain't got no princess gear on. And they ask for her voucher and she pushes through. And the mom's like, I'll go get her. And she's like, Clarice, come back here. Clarice, come back here. And Clarice is like, forget you, Mom. And she comes in and she's got a pair of jean shorts that's got ripped. She's got a shirt on and she's got holes in it. She's got slushy stains all over. She's got ketchup on her face. No one's wiped her nose in a while. And she comes in and she's pushing princess girls out of the way. This is not how you act in Cinderella's castle. She's like, screw Cinderella. Like, I don't care. Like, she's pushing people around and everyone's there. And then all the princess girls come together with their moms and they turn and they say, you don't belong here. You can't see Cinderella with that much on. You can't see Cinderella and talk like that. You can't see Cinderella and dress like that. You can't wipe your face. You can't see Cinderella looking like that. And then all of a sudden, bum, ba, bum, trumpet blasts. And Cinderella comes through the doors and all the girls are shkin. And Cinderella comes down and Clarice recognizes in the room what's just happened. And she is like trying to hide. And Cinderella walks down. And all the girls are looking at their moms, and I think she'll pick me. Look at me, Mommy. Look at my curls. We've been here the longest. Daddy paid the most money. She walks through, and she just walks through the crowd. And she reaches out, and she touches a little girl's chin that was looking down. And she lifted up her chin, and Clarice saw her. And she picked up Clarice, gathered in her arms, gave her a hug, and kissed her on the cheek, and said, you're my princess. That's what he did for this woman. That's what he did for us. And if the enemy is telling you that you don't belong in this line, don't listen to that voice. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, "Hey, Jairus, don't forget about the brother, the dad." Remember the guy that's looking for his daughter to be healed? He says, "Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Hey, do not fear, only believe." Imagine the moment, dad. Imagine the moment, mom. You hear as Jesus has been comforting this girl's emotions, which matter, but her emotions don't matter as much to a parent as who? The child who's dying. Because we rank things like that, right? And then Jesus is doing that, and Jairus, in the moment that he hears his daughter is dead, is crushed. And Jesus then turns his attention back to Jairus, and he says, "Hey, Jairus, guess what? Don't be afraid, only believe." This is what he says. "Hey, dad, hey, mom, don't listen to the voices of the world. Hear my voice. Hey, students, don't listen to the voices of the world. Hear my voice." There is no fear when we totally grasp he is who he says he is, and I am who he says I am. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John and the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw the commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. And when he entered, he said to them, "Why are you making such a commotion and weeping? This child's not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Did you hear that? The voices of the crowd laughed at him. But whose voice did Jesus listen to? Not their voices, his father's voice. "But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was, taking her by the hand." Imagine Jesus walking up to this bed. She probably was covered at this point. There's probably a cover over her face. Jesus removed the cover of her face. Imagine the dad. Imagine dad. Imagine mom seeing your daughter with a lifeless body, her body starting to get cold. Her eyes are shut. And Jesus walks up and he grabs this child's hand. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Hey, little girl, I say to you, it's time to get up." And immediately the girl got up. "How you feel now, dad? How you feel now, mom?" "And began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with the amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat." I don't understand the workmanship of God. Do you guys understand why I'm saying that? Because I can see your faces in this room. And some of you, I have sat by a bed and prayed with you, and you're in this room today. And some of you, I have sat by a bed, and the person we prayed over is now with Jesus. I don't understand his workmanship. I really don't, but I know he works.
He does work, listening friend. He works this very day. What a powerful reminder for us all. There are many voices in this world, but only one voice that truly gives life. Jesus still sees the outcast, hears the hurting, and calls people from fear to faith. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. This was a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.